Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks. We thank you for this day that we are able to see the first Sunday in January. We give you thanks. We thank you for Jesus Christ, the light who would come into the world, our Lord and Savior. And so on this Sunday, the Epiphany of our Lord, we are so grateful that we no longer have to live in darkness because the light has come. That we could ask forgiveness of our sins and be forgiven because the light has come. And that we follow the true light, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you. And our Lord, speak a word for us and let your light shine through our hearts, in our hearts, and through us into the world, so that those who see us and know our church will ask, what must they do to receive light? Let your light shine now, and let your Holy Spirit come and remind us that Jesus is the light of the world. Amen. Amen. And so today, as Christian believers, we are thankful to God that we live in a country that we could worship God and that we have a Savior who lives and reigns supreme and that he is the light of the world. My sermon title today is at the beginning of the year, you know, we always reflect. I know we're all reflecting, aren't we? Or we ought to be. If you haven't started yet, you know, some folks were partying at New Year's Eve, and now they're just reflecting now. But whatever time we're reflecting, God has blessed us to live through 2015, and here we are. And as we look ahead, we don't know what the future holds, but we know that the God who brought us through 2015 is the God that we're depending on to bring us through 2016. Am I right, church? Amen. The God who has brought us thus far is the God we're depending on to bring us through this year. And so, therefore, our hope is restored. Because our hope has been in him through 2015, and he has not failed us. And he never, no matter what the circumstance, whether he takes us home or we live yet another day, another week, another year, God has been good to us. And so, I encourage you to hope, to continue to hope in the Lord. We have tried him and proven him to be true, that he is faithful to the very end. Hope is defined as to feel that something desired may happen. Normally, we hope for something. We hope that we'll lose weight. We hope that we'll gain weight. We hope that we'll get a job. We're hoping that something that we desire may happen. We never hope for bad things. We normally hope for good things. But a Christian's definition of hope is far superior than that simple definition. Instead of wishing or hoping for something to happen, a believer knows that their hope is solid, concrete evidence, because it is grounded in the Word of God. It is a hope that is like faith, a faith that cannot be moved by circumstances or what the eyes see, because an unseen God is seen in his faithfulness. Thanks be to God that our hope is not dependent on things in the world, because there are many of us here under the sound of my voice or in the church today who have gone through difficulties in 2015. Yet you're still here open in the Lord. We're still depending on his word. There's a song in our hymnal that we only sing the refrain, and it goes, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I have learned to trust in God. Through it all, I have learned to depend upon his word. It is God's word, you see. The first verse says, I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me strong. Through it all, I have learned to trust in Jesus, and I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I have learned to depend upon God's word. The last verse said, I thank God for the mountains, and I thank him for the valleys. I thank him for the storms he brought me through. For if I've never had a problem, I would know that God could solve them. I'd never know that faith in God, what faith in God could do. And so through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I have learned to depend upon God's word. That's all we have, you know, is God's word. It is important at the beginning of every year to preach a sermon or to reflect on the importance of God's word in our lives, both personally and corporatively. Even the Our Father that we say, the Our Father prayer that some of us live by, if we miss it, if we don't say it at communion time, there are folks who get so upset because it's a very important prayer. It is God's word. That prayer didn't come out of a dictionary. We could Google it now and find it on the internet, but before it was there on the internet, it was in the Bible. Did you know that? Jesus said, when he taught his disciples how to pray, he says, when you pray, pray like this. And that prayer is found in the Gospels. It is in Matthew and it's in Luke. It is God's word. Right? Our Father which art in heaven is the word of God, and we hold on to that word. We're living by God's word, and even though we sometimes don't understand that. God's word is or should be the anchor for us. I know that the debate goes on in some circles and among some folks whether or not we should take the Bible, God's inspired word, literally. But beloved of Christ, this word, be it singular as in God's inspired word, or these words as in books, chapters, and verses, have withstood the test of time. Folks have talked against the word and said it's not true, and they have passed on and they have gone home, and the word of God still stands. It is called Rhema, or Logos, the word. In Christianity, the Rhema word, it is used in the Bible to signify Jesus' very utterance. It's Logos, it's Rhema for the Hebrew. It is that thing that from the very beginning, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It is God's Word. Jesus was the embodiment of God's Word and his very utterance. When he says, I will not leave you orphans, I will not leave you alone, his very utterance is the Word of God. And so we are reminded today how important God's word is. Scripture tells us that and reminds us that God's word is a lamp for our feet and a light on our path. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. That is Psalm 119, verse 105. I think oftentimes Christian believers, we take the word too lightly, right? It's easier for us to read a book, to study a book, than to study God's word, to read God's word. But that's where our hope is. That's where we find strength. That's where we find the 23rd Psalm. That's where we find Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. It reminds us that he never slumbers nor sleep. He will not suffer our foot to be moved. He that keepeth us never slumbers nor sleep. It reminds us when we're going through difficult times, if we could just find a word in the Bible. The Lord is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in time of trouble. It is God's word that gives us that hope.
Amen.
Right? It is not anybody else's word. We could read very good books, but no one ever asks for these books when you're sick and lying in the hospital or somewhere else. But we ask for God's word. It is God's word that says, let not your heart be troubled. Do not be afraid. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, wouldn't I have told you that I've gone to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you will be also. It is God's word for us. My sisters and brothers, it's his word. It's his word that says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will rest and abide in you and in me. It is God's word. It is God's word that we hold on to. It is the truth of God's word. It is God's word that tells us that he'll not forget us. He says, I will not forget you. I've engraved you in the palm of my hands. Your very walls are before me. I've inscribed you in the palm of my hands. Sometimes when I'm feeling weak and lonely, I am reminded of that word from Isaiah, that I'm inscribed in the palms of God's hand, and that he will not forget me, and he will not forget you. His is his word that is true. His word that reminds us every day that he has plans for us. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future with hope. It is God's word. And when you call on me, he says, I will listen to you. When you come and seek me with all of your heart, I will be found by you. It is his word, church. And so we want to be able to go deeper into his word during 2016. I encourage you to make a promise to yourself and to aspire and strive to read God's word. Because we do need it in times like these. We need it at all times. And so 4 points about God's word. We studied the word to grow in knowledge. Yes, we studied God's word to grow in knowledge. But knowledge by itself is useless. If we're just studying God's word to get knowledge, if I'm just studying the scriptures so I could recite them, then it's just knowledge. And by that, it's good because I'm studying it to know it, but by itself, it stands alone. Number two, we focus on scripture because God creates life through his word. He creates life through the word. The word of God is a two-edged sword. The Bible says it cuts through bones and marrow. It does the work. We study the word because faith comes from hearing the word. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And number four, we study God's word because God's word gives us hope. God's word gives us hope when we're going through difficult times. And we can remember something as simple that says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Simple, sometimes it's just one line. He that dwelleth in the secret places of the Most High God shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. God's word. And God's word continues. These stories that we read in the Bible, these narratives, are God's word. God's inspired word. Written by human being. Yes, I've lost my mind completely. I didn't think God put his hand through heaven and wrote it, and he probably did. He had the power to do it, right? We as Christians don't believe that, but it's been inspired. God can inspire a human being, just like how he could inspire us and give us a talent to study to be a doctor or a scientist or whatever. He inspired human beings to write his word through the prophets he spoke and through all those who came and the kings and so on he spoke. And then he inspired those folks to write his word so that you and I can have it. So these are God's word. So this story that we read today about the Magi is one of God's, is God's word. We read it and we like the story. There's a song made out of the story, We Three Kings. Life has come out of that story. It is God's word that came to us through the New Testament. And this word that came to us through the New Testament is about the promise that would come. The three kings, the Magi, they were told, many kings before them, the three wise men, many of them were told, they were told over and over again that a Messiah would come. The prophets had spoken. They had been waiting. And here's why our hope is restored today. Because those prophecies were made thousands, hundreds of years before Christ came. Hundreds of years. I want to tell you today that God's word is true. The writer in the Old Testament says, God is not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should repent. God, when God says it, it's so. He says he's going to take care of us, it's so. And so there was the promise that the Messiah would come. And these folks had been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. I want to encourage you this morning that if you have been praying to God and seeking God's face, and asking for something and you haven't had it yet, if you keep believing in him and trusting God, he will bring it to pass in his own time according to his will for your lives.
Amen.
He doesn't always bring it the way we want it, because my little minute brain cannot see and understand everything. But if he promises it, he will bring it through. These stories in the Bible reminds us that our God is true. His word is yea and amen.
Amen.
His word is true. It stands the test of time. His word stands and it goes on and on. And so these folks were waiting. They were waiting for the Messiah to come. And God would make sure that it happened. He had put it into place so that it would happen. And when the time came, the opportune time, the perfect time according to God's will, Christ would be born. And exactly as they've said it, God doesn't make a mistake, the star would appear. Oh, glory to God. The star appeared. Have you ever prayed for something and you think you're not going to get it? And when it all gets hooked up and together, you know, I'm using a modern word here, hooked up. Yeah, hooked it up in the Bible. I don't think they said hooked up in the Bible. But you all know what I mean. If I was writing the Bible, they'd be hooked up in there. You understand? God would hook it up here and hook it and put this and move that. And all of a sudden, this thing would happen. And you said to yourself, my God, how would that be possible? How did I get that job? How did this happen? How did I find that husband or wife? Maybe not, but maybe. How this wonderful thing? Because God put it into place. That we can't even believe because you had been waiting. It's what happened with these folks. They had been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting year after year. When is the Messiah coming? When is the Messiah coming? Men would die, women would die. When is the Messiah coming? Story would be handed down. When is the Messiah coming? You know, I like to tell God sometimes, God, could you hurry up? I've been waiting a while. He doesn't normally listen, but you understand. There's some things that says, God, you know, can't you? But he's going to bring it through.
Amen.
And when the opportune time came, what happened? They saw the star, scripture said. And they followed the star. And do you know something, church? Here's your hope today. When God hooks it up, right? When God networks and hooks it up for us, nobody could stop it. Herod had a plan trying to stop it. But Herod couldn't stop it. Do you see? When I hook it up, something is going to happen because I don't know all the pieces of the puzzle. But when God puts it together, nobody can stop it.
Praise the Lord.
Because he's on scene. He could see everything. God could see everything. And so He put it together. He moved the pieces and the puzzle. And Herod thought he was going to what? Find baby Jesus and get rid of him. And God says, watch out. You just watch out. You know, God said that. It's in another chapter in the Bible. You don't have that chapter. But, you know, it's my chapter. God says, watch out. I'm coming after you. And so what did he do? He didn't deal with Herod then. Herod is going to be gone later. But what did he do? He told the wise men, he says, when they brought their gifts, they brought them to the baby. They followed the star. And the star was better than any GPS. Do you understand? You know, GPS could run you into rivers and snowbanks. Are you with me? You put the GPS on and you're going one way. You could end up on top of a hill. Has that ever happened to you? It could take you 5 hours on the GPS. But God had the best GPS long before they made GPS. Are you with me? They didn't need an app on the phone. Do you understand? All they had to do is look in the heaven. Come on, church. This is the God I'm talking about today. They just had to look in the heaven and see a star. And you want to tell me from what the story says now, God's word. Huh? The star never wavered. Do you understand? It never got dimmer. It didn't go west. It didn't go south. It didn't go. It just kept going to where the baby laid. Could you imagine what they'd pay for a GPS like that now? Could you imagine what would happen? That's God's GPS, and it followed, and they followed it directly to where the baby was. No, they did no detour, no roadblocks, nothing. And then they showed up and they saw. And can you imagine? And they understood that this had been prophesied. This has been said by the prophets. The story said, the gospel said, it had been prophesied so many years, and here he was. And the Bible said they bow down and they worship him. They were worshiping him for two reasons. Number one, he was the baby Jesus. But number two, God's word had been fulfilled. God's word had been fulfilled. That's why our hope is restored today. Because God, if you're praying to God, he's going to take care of us. Because he promised. Even through, I know there are those of us who have lost loved ones and we have gone through pain and some folks have faced sickness and other things, but God's word is still true. He's going to bring you through. And that we who are Christian believers know that this is not the end, whatever God says. And so Paul reminds us in the epistle, in that letter to the church at Ephesus, he reminds us that the plan of God to include you and me was not a plan that was just made last minute. Glory to God. Do you know we're Gentiles? We're Gentiles. And the plan of God was not, when we look at the Gospels, we don't see the Gentiles being brought into Christianity, being following Christ at the beginning. There were Gentile believers. We see that in Mark. He talks a lot to the Gentiles, but he didn't see the big move of the Gentiles in the gospel, because Jesus first came for who? The Jews. He came for the children of Israel. So the gospel, all of Matthew's gospel, were speaking to the Jewish people. Right? Only Mark kind of have a few words for the Gentiles. You see Gentiles here and there. But by the time Paul came, Paul, who was a Jew of Jews, who didn't have any intentions of saving anybody for Christ. But God had a plan. That's why that scripture is subtitled Paul's Ministry to the Gentiles. God made a plan from the very beginning of time. His word went forth, and his word went forth for you and me, that we would have the hope of eternal life. That this was not some kind of mistake, that God would love us so much that he would say, yes, first I'm going to send Jesus for the Jews, and then you're going to be the Gentiles, and my plan will be for the Gentiles. So as Paul reminds the church, he wanted them to understand the church at Ephesus as they were facing heresy and discussions and false gods and all of that. He wanted them to understand, yes, you may be Gentile believers, but God came for you. God sent Jesus Christ for you. Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. And so today, we have the hope. Because this God would have a plan for us. And for each and every one of us here today, he has a plan for us. But we are supposed to what? Seek him, seek his face, and know his word. We are supposed to be reading His word. And I told the church this morning, I think Zamzam was with me, right? Weren't you, Zamzam? That I went to preach at, as I pick up the, this book, I went to preach at a Methodist church in, I think Celeste is laughing. I went to preach at a church in Brooklyn. It was a Methodist church at a revival. And you know, you think I'm excited here when I'm at a revival. This is nothing when I'm at a revival. I could run over the whole church. So I'm preaching and I'm getting excited. And I was, don't know what the sermon was now. It's the back of my head. And I kept, and I pick up this book and I kept saying, I was at the pulpit and I said, and this is God's word, and God's word is true, and you should study God's word, and you should read God's word, because God, and I'm holding the book, and I'm holding the book, and all of a sudden I turned the book over, and it was the book of worship. And then I said to the congregation, I don't mean the book of worship, I mean the Holy Bible. So now when I pick up the Bible, I make sure it is the Bible. Right? Because they were all just looking at me because they could see the name and I'm holding it. It's the true word. And this is the truth. So I said to the church, the book of worship is good, but I'm really talking about God's word. His word is true. I'm encouraging you to read it more, to study it for yourself. Not just when, for me, on a Sunday that I have to speak. This is the hope of Christ, His word for us. There are truths in it. There's correction in it. Sometimes we don't want to read it because it could be hard reading. But so what? God is a good parent. And but there's hope. And most of all, there is the gospel miniature in it. For God so loved the world that He would give His Son for you and for me, and the light would come into the world. And Paul reminds us today that we were, as Gentiles, the part included in God's plan for salvation. Isn't that a blessing? We were included. We weren't something forgotten. And then one day God says, oh, those poor people know from the very beginning He wanted us to be included in His plan. So church, today I encourage you, and I hope that your hope is restored. My hope is restored because I have the word. This is the only way God is speaking now. It's through His word. There may be prophets and so are hearing from God. Because in those days there were not the written word. So that God spoke to the prophets a lot. Because there was not the written word. But once He gave them the ability and divinely inspired them to write the word down, He wanted us to read it so that we could be drawn closer to Him. Not because He can't read, but because He knows there's hope in it for us. You don't have to read the whole thing. Find something. Start with the Gospels. Simple. Begin to read it. My God, it will change your life. So this new year, I don't want you to be hopeless. I want you to have all the hope that you need because it is in this book for you and for me. May God bless us today as we face the new year. Amen. And now let us sing and worship our King as we